grateful that you guys are with us today, wherever you may be, at home or maybe having a cup of coffee somewhere or just relaxing this morning. We wish we could be outdoors, but the weather's not permitting it. So we're online with you today and hope that you're dry and comfortable and in a spirit of worship today. Well, we're going to keep on with the journey of talking about being emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy and how those two work together. And as I jump into that, I want to ask a question. See if we can all kind of relate here. Do you have the kind of friend who you know you can always count on to encourage you? No matter what you're going through, they'll encourage you. They're also the friend who will speak wisdom to you and even challenge you when you may not be thinking clearly, or you may be making some choices that probably aren't healthy and really good for you, and they'll just speak right back to you, and you know they'll hold you accountable and encourage you to make that good choice that really will be good for you and good for others, you know, around you as it impacts them in a good way. And you know that when you hear them speak to you, that you may not always hear what feels good, if you will, right? And so you know in the midst of hearing that, however, they're for you. Like, they're not against you. They are for you. And they want what's good for you today and in the future. And that's why they're being lovingly and hopefully gentle in sharing the truth with you. And when you have that kind of friend, you really get to learn the character of that person, don't you? I've had that, and I found that to really be true. You start to learn what they value. You learn what they stand for, and you also learn what they stand against and what they don't agree with. And in the midst of all of that, you know, as you're taking all of that in, that they really, you know, again, they really care about you, and they care about your future. And you know you can count on them, come rain or shine, as we say. Do you have that kind of friend? Maybe one, two? We'd like to think that the whole church could be that for everyone, and we often encourage each other to be that, and yet I think kind of the reality is that probably we have one, two, maybe three. It's a pretty small number of folks who are that deeply close and very honest and genuine with us. We need those people in our lives. I hope you have somebody like that in your life. I want to tell you, God is that good friend too. He really is, and we have the privilege to know him personally. There's a quote by St. Augustine many, many years ago, and it's a sentence out of what he had said, and it's a prayer, and it says this. It says, Lord, grant that I may know myself, that I may know thee. It's a pretty deep statement, isn't it? It is for me. First time I heard it, I had to really process through, what is that really saying, and do I really agree with that? And the more I got to think about it, I began to understand that, you know, this statement, which I'm going to unpack this morning, is not saying that there is a way to know God that's simply just within knowing ourselves. That's not what it's saying. There's only one way to know God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the pathway to eternal life with God, and the Gospel of John and Romans and really all of in Scripture is pointing to that truth. So we're not denying that. What I am saying today in that is that, you know, as we do the work of getting to know who we are better, you know, what we do and why we do it and what we say and why we say it and how we do and say things. And as we do that work of getting to know ourselves, and we do that while we also are listening to God speak to us through quiet time with God and having a reflective spirit and taking the time to care about what God has to say to us, that in that experience, and it's really a journey, that we end up getting to hear from God because he speaks to us the truth of how he sees us. He speaks the truth of how he views us. And the more we listen to God trying to teach us and sometimes even challenge us, I know he likes to do that to me at times, but to teach and challenge us in the depths of really who we are as a person, the more I find that we get to learn of God's heart for us. We get to learn of his character. We get to learn of how he loves us and sees us. And that is something that's so important for us today. Why is that important? Great question. And here's my answer to that. One of the answers that I think we could give to this question. My answer is that, you know, the truth of the matter is that we are a people whose lives are full of stories. We have stories of experiences and lessons that we have learned as we have been going through life. And those things have shaped our opinions, haven't they? They've shaped our behaviors. They have shaped the way that we see ourselves, the way that we see other people, the way that maybe even we see God. And some of those have been good, and some of those not so good. Because every single one of us, we've all grown up in a world that's been broken with sin, just like we are. And so sometimes we've been influenced and taught and impacted to develop ways of thinking about ourselves and feeling about ourselves and, of course, others and God that are not the same way that God thinks and feels about us and other people. And we need to have that transformed within us. That is so critically important. And on top of that, you might also know that we've got this spiritual enemy who tries to deceive us, to doubt that we can trust God's word to be true. And he just keeps coming and keeps coming in. And it feels like he may go away for a while, and then he comes back again. And it's just this continual onset of tempting us to try to deceive us. Well, I feel that, you know, as a teacher and a preacher, if you can't share your own life stories to preach from your own experiences, then you're probably not going to do very well. And so I want to do that today. I want to put myself before you to help maybe illustrate what I'm talking about. As I've grown up and become a young adult, and I'm not as young as I used to be, but I have had the struggle of really being afraid of making mistakes. Afraid that if I make a mistake, I'm going to be seen as not competent. And even as I became a pastor, I have still wrestled with that struggle in me, and it's gotten better, and so I'm grateful for that. But it hasn't completely gone away. In fact, I was wrestling with it this week and had to work through that, and thank God for his grace, you know. And when I make a mistake, I confess it tends to eat me up on the inside. And I've had the pattern of thinking that the church is going to think that I'm not a competent pastor if I make a mistake. And they're not going to want to follow my leadership. They're not going to listen to what I have to say. They're not going to want to walk alongside me because they're going to think, well, he can't even do his job. Why would I want to follow that pastor, you know? And even when I speak it out loud, it just, you know, it sounds crazy. And you might be thinking, that's crazy. Like, why would you believe that? But I'm just being honest. That is something that I have had in my heart, in my head, just have wrestled with. And I think that the enemy has tried to piggyback on top of that as I've gone through those struggles to wear me down and try to get me to believe the lie that, in fact, I am what I do. And that my value is how well I do something and getting the approval of other people. That's what determines my solid, good identity and worth as a person. And I confess to you, that has caused me so much anxiety over the years. And it's exhausting to go through that. It has worn me out more times than I can count. And the reality is, as I've been learning, is that, you know, that personal narrative, we can call that, right? So it's kind of that story we tell ourselves. That's really not the truth at all. In fact, that's the opposite of the truth. Because the truth is, we are not what we do. We're not. Our identity is not in what we do. We are not what others think of us. God's love and acceptance for us is not based on either one of those things. And I think, too, that we could say the same thing, that our identity and worth is not in the things that we have either. it's not connected to what we have, and it's not even connected to the people who are in our lives. I know a lot of people wrap up their identity and their worth, their sense of value in other people. And the truth is, that is not where our identity and our worth lies. You see, God tells us a different story. He says that we are made in the image of a good God. And we are made to create good in this world that would bring good into the lives of other people. That we are declared to be good. Yeah, we know we're sinners, but we also know we're saved by the good grace of God. Our sin does not change the fact that God has created us in His image, and He is a good God. Your identity is that of being made in the image of a good God. Regardless of whether you think you are good or other people think you are good, the Word says that you're made in the image of a good God. The Word says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may not think that you are that great. You may not think that your body and the way you look is really that good. You may not think that what's inside of you is really able to contribute much good to the world or to the people around you. But I beg to differ. By the grace of God, you are able to contribute good into the lives of people that are all around you. Because you've been made in the image of a good God who by His grace empowers you to be able to bring good for the good of others and for our own good. See, that's often not the stories that we find maybe trying to hit us at different times in life, you know, because it may not be all the time, but sometimes those things may be coming in and we're tempted to believe a lie, and God says, no, my word says something totally different about you. And I want you to listen to my word. But I think God also wants us to look to the cross. You know, because when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we see that, you know, in His death and even in His resurrection, that through faith we are citizens of God's kingdom. And that's what matters, that we are citizens of God's kingdom and that we are overcomers in Christ because of Christ's work for us and in us, not because of our own works. Well, I think when we get trapped in looking at just ourselves, what we can do, what we need to do, and what we should do. I mean, those are healthy thoughts at times, but if we start to turn inward and base it on the things of this world to answer those questions, oftentimes we get out of balance. We get off going over here, and God says, no, remember my son, remember the cross, remember the words that I've given you in the scriptures. They speak the truth of who you are. Learn from them and let me reshape you, transform you by the renewing of your mind. I love how Paul writes that in the book of Romans. Well, you know, I think if we could use anybody to talk about this, we probably ought to go to Jesus. And so I want to do that. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, from verse 28 through 30, Jesus says it like this. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whew, isn't that a good passage? That's one of my favorite in all of Scripture. And I believe it speaks right into the topic we're looking at today. Jesus is saying that I want you to come to me. I want you to latch on, not just to, I think, faith that He is the Messiah, but it's come to me and latch on to what I am telling you. Latch on to God's word. Hold on to, embrace, get rooted, be just grounded in what I am saying to you. Whew. I just like the idea of that, right? And let His truth bring peace. Here's something I think is helpful for us to remember. Jesus doesn't condemn us for the sin and pain of our past in this life. John 3:17 says Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. Jesus brings salvation and healing. His Spirit brings transformation into our lives during this life. That's why it's so critical that we know Jesus before we die. After we die, that's a whole other story. We don't have that way into eternal life. That's why we need to have a relationship with Jesus, know him personally in this life. Not just for peace today, but for eternal peace with our Creator. So Jesus says, latch on to me, come to me. You who are trying to find peace through all the things that you've heard and all the things that you're believing and all maybe the lies or the false narratives that you've been embracing. It's like, look, those things aren't true. And so you who are weary and burdened and worn out, hey, quit believing all that craziness and believe in the things that I am telling you about who you are and who I am and how I love you. We need to be grateful. I know it sounds like we need to be grateful, but we really do. I think we need to be grateful that Jesus has judged our sin with his death. We need to be grateful that he saves us, he heals us, he transforms us from the effect of sin in our lives so that we can know the fruit of his love despite our past. Well, that's the wonderful gospel promise. And yet there's also a challenge. You know, when I read that passage, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And I love that image because to take his yoke upon us implies that the yoke that was on us is being taken off. I believe part of that yoke being taken off and being replaced with Christ and his truth is that awareness of us knowing what that yoke is and its effect on our lives. And that's where we get into the idea of being aware of who we are and what we do and why we do what we do and say what we say. That's a challenging experience. I mean, it's a journey. You kind of go through that and you grow in that. But we still can't just put it on God and say, God, you handle it, and I'm just going to ignore everything else from my past and not just don't worry about it. Because I tell you what, it will rear its ugly head and find and show itself in some ways that won't be pleasant and won't be loving to others. I know the Lord can transform us by his Spirit. I fully believe that. And he also gives us the power to take his yoke upon us, but to also understand, here's where you've come from, and here's where I want to work in you, and here's where I want to grow you. And where I grow you, you use that testimony, and you tell that story of the power of my grace that overcomes your weaknesses so that other people will be encouraged to believe in me and trust in me and let me do the same thing in their lives and stop trying to do it of their own strength and own will, because it doesn't work that way. I have the ability to transform. Whew. It's quite the package together. And I promise you it's not easy, but it is quite the journey. So what can we do coming out of this? Well, I want to give you two questions. And they're simple on the surface, but man, can they be powerful as we're going day by day. And I think the first question can be this. It's asking ourselves, who am I? Who am I? So who is Andy? Just put your name, right? Who is, right? Who am I? And when you ask that question and you begin to answer that and to figure out who you are, be truthful. Be curious. Be honest. Be vulnerable with yourself. God already knows. And God cares about you right where you are. You have nothing to hide. Who am I? So here's a second question. Who does God say I am? Who does God say I am? For that one, We need to listen to God speak to us through His Word. So whether you read the Scriptures, or maybe you listen in audio, or listening to sermons, or biblical teachings, listen to what God wants to reveal to you about who He says you are. Give God space. Give Him time to transform, reshape your understanding of who you are as He sees you, as He loves you, as He cares about you today and for the rest of your life, however long that may be. Let Him shape that answer in you so that you may know Him better and better. And may our prayer along the way be that of St. Augustine. Lord, grant that I may know myself, that I may know Thee. And I would add this, and may we grow in the peace of Christ along the way. And may others be encouraged to draw close to God and to believe in Jesus Christ because of the change they see happening in our lives. And may we point them to God as the agent of our transformation. Man, people are longing for hope today. And in the midst of a season where there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of emotional, just anxiety, I guess, is the best way to put it. And it's this season we're in, and there's a lot of being tired and wanting to change and wanting to, you know, kind of have a new sense of normal, figure out what that is, and let's just go do it. And we're, you know, it's like, and I personally, I'm just tired. I'm exhausted with it all. And I really believe that this work is a work that we need to do with God in a season such as this. Lord, grant that I might know myself, that I may know Thee, and may grow in Your peace. Amen. Church, I want to share one announcement with you before we close our service out this morning. I'm asking for your help. If you would be so kind to look in your email later today and through a Facebook post coming from New Hope, look for an invite for a link. And that link is going to take you to our website, to the Connect card. And on that Connect card, if you would do me a favor, if you would put your name in there and make sure your contact info is up to date, and at the bottom, this is critically important, at the bottom in the comments, would you please let us know if your family and how many in your family would like to worship indoors when we open the doors and are able to gather inside? How many in your family would like to worship indoors when we open the doors and we are able to gather inside? Of course, we'll be limited at capacity and about 50 people in the sanctuary. But we also want to have an alternative available so that you can also gather on site outdoors. And so we'd like to know also, would you prefer to meet outdoors because you're just not quite ready to come indoor? And we totally understand that, and we very much respect that. And we want to honor that. And so if you would help us to know where your family is at, would you like to come indoors? And if so, how many would like to participate indoor? That'll help us get a head count. Or if you'd like to just remain outside, then we have an idea of how many people would like to be outdoors. And we can finish putting together what we hope will be a really good plan for us at New Hope moving forward. Can you do that for me? Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Look in your email today. Check out Facebook, New Hope Community Church. If you're not friends with New Hope Community Church yet, hey, would you please do that? Like us on Facebook, and so you can stay attuned of what's going on at the church and be abreast of any changes as they're coming about. Whew, thank you. Can I pray for us as the worship team comes to sing? Father, we're so grateful that You invite us to listen and learn from You and that You shape us. Help us to know who we are so that we may understand better what You want to shape in us. And then that can shape our testimony that we share and give glory to You and how You have brought deep change into our lives and grown us up in Your peace. Help us by your Holy Spirit as we go through that journey of getting to know ourselves that we may know you better and together experience an emotionally healthy spirituality for your glory, our good, the good of the church, and for the good of others around us. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.